Okay, folks, we're in lesson 33 today. We're going to continue our discussion in the issue of the end times. If you remember, in our last lesson, we took a look at what Jesus says about right now with regards to our present time and the reality of what that is in preparation for our looking at what's going to be happening in the future. So if you remember, in our last lesson, he talked about things like wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, natural disasters, the evil of men, and the wickedness of men continuing on, and so forth. And all of that is what he referred to as the birth pangs, or the preparation for what's coming. So now we want to look at the coming judgment, and we're going to spend a few weeks here. I know in my last lesson I talked about that we're probably going to take 2 weeks, but the reality is when we talk about the tribulation, which is what we're going to be looking at today, it's actually going to take a few more weeks than just 2 weeks to cover. So today, we're going to talk about the tribulation, what's known as the tribulation, or from Daniel chapter 9, what's known as Daniel's 70th week. Now, as we begin looking at the issue of the tribulation, we kind of need to talk about some things just in introduction. So what I want you to notice, first of all, is that at some point in the future, the events of the future judgment will take place. Now, how do we know that? Well, if you go back to what we looked at last week when we were looking at Matthew chapter 24, here's what Matthew records in verse 14 from the words of Jesus. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we're talking about right now, we're living in a moment in which the gospel is going out to the ends of the earth. Basically, missions is what it's talking about here, evangelism, everything that's involved with that. And then at some point in the future, Jesus is saying the end will come. Now, when we talk about the tribulation, we've got to acknowledge that not everyone really accepts that fact. So this period of judgment is often mocked and misunderstood. What do you mean mocked? Well, there are people who ridicule anyone who thinks there's going to be a coming judgment, or they totally misunderstand the whole reality of the tribulation. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But the fact is not everybody accepts it. Well, one of the things I want you to see about why this happens is this is due to the reality that most have a misunderstanding of God and the reality of his judgment. So the whole concept of a future judgment doesn't really enter into people's minds, because in their mind, God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't bring that type of judgment on his people, on what he has created, on his children. That is, in the sense that he created everyone. God wouldn't do that. So therefore, they can't see that God would bring a future judgment. And that's reality here. What I want you to see is that the fact of the matter is that, no, this is in line with who God is. He is holy, and as he is holy, he demands perfect justice, and mankind has sinned against him, and therefore he is going to bring judgment on this world. Now, this period is commonly known as the tribulation, as well as Daniel's 70th week. So this is what we're going to be talking about, the tribulation. So we're going to spend several lessons here. But today, we're going to just focus in on the introduction of the reality of this seven-year period. And we find that in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. So what we're going to focus from here on in our study today is we're going to look at the 70 weeks. So I want you to notice what Daniel records starting with verse 24. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. And for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moats, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there will be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and half a week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Okay, so let's take each one of these verses, and we're going to learn some things about the tribulation or the reality of the tribulation as we look at what Daniel's saying here. So let's start with verse 24 of chapter 9 in Daniel, and we're going to look at a time determined. So what we see here is that the angel Gabriel suggests that the end of the exile would begin a period of 70 weeks. Now you're saying, end of what exile, George? Well, that would be the Babylonian exile. If you remember, when they were taken by Nebuchadnezzar in three different exiles over three different periods of the conquest of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, and they were taken away, Jeremiah said that they would be gone for 70 years. So at the end of that 70-year period, the Persian king made a decree to allow them to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Well, Gabriel is telling us that when this happens, there is a period of 70 weeks that will begin. Now, the word week can be translated sevens or a week of years. So when we talk about a week here, we're talking about a 7-year period. So the phrase 70 weeks of 77s is commonly known to mean 490 years. Now, during these 490 years, during this time of the things in which God is going to be doing with the nation Israel, which, by the way, let's stop for a moment. Remember what I told you when we began the introduction to this whole section on the end times? You and I have to make a decision about Israel, because what you decide about Israel and how it fits into Scripture and prophecy and what exactly do we mean by Israel, that's going to determine your understanding of what the Scripture says about the end times. Now, the reality is that this prophecy concerning the 70 weeks has to do with the nation Israel, the people Israel. So the phrase 70 weeks of seven is commonly known as 490 years. So six actions are going to take place. So six things are going to take place during this time of 70 weeks. So here's what they are. Here's the first one. To finish the transgression means Israel's disobedience will be brought to an end. Now, we already know, because we're in the midst of the 70 weeks, that that hasn't taken place yet. So when will it take place? it will take place when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, comes. That's when their disobedience will be brought to an end. Here's the second thing that is reflected here in the passage. To make an end of sins means Israel's sin will be removed. And again, this hasn't taken place yet, but it will take place at the end of this final week, this 70th week, what we know of as the tribulation. Third thing now, to make reconciliation for iniquity means atonement will be made for Israel's sin. We already know that in the midst of the 70th weeks, Jesus died on the cross, making atonement for sin. Here's another one. To bring everlasting righteousness means God will establish an age of righteousness, which we know will not take place until the very end of the 70th week, when Jesus Christ will come back and basically establish the kingdom, a 1,000-year reign. To seal up vision and prophecy means all prophecies will find their fulfillment. So all of the prophecies of the Old Testament and New Testament will ultimately find their fulfillment in this 70 weeks, especially at the end of the 70th week when Jesus comes back. And to anoint the Most Holy means the enthronement of Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ will be enthroned as the King, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Messiah. Now, let's go on for a little bit, because he mentions 7 weeks and 62, that's 69 weeks, and then the 70th week, and there's some things that are happening. Let's take a little bit more of a look at that. So we're going to focus in now on verse 25, and we're going to talk about the first 69 weeks, and we're going to look at how they're explained. So here's what I want you to see. These 69 weeks refer to a time from the end of the exile to the coming of the Messiah. Now here's what we know, folks. If you look at a lunar calendar, now with a lunar calendar, a month is 30 days. So it is a calendar, like our Julian calendar, we have 365 days in a year. With a lunar calendar, you have 360 days. So from the time of Nehemiah chapter 2, where the decree of the Persian ruler is made to restore Jerusalem and the temple, up until the time in which Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, when he rides on a donkey and a donkey's foal into Jerusalem, that is 69 weeks, or should I say 483 weeks, exactly to the date. 69 weeks of 7 years happens right up until that point. At that point, Jerusalem will be restored at this time during a period of troublesome times. And we know that when they went back during that time, the Jews reestablished Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple, but it was also a troublesome time because they had to deal with constant invaders, the Greeks, the Romans, and so forth. It wasn't necessarily a peaceful time. And Daniel is being told that in Daniel chapter 9. Now, the interesting thing is the text tells us it doesn't immediately go into the 70th week. It says there are certain things that have to take place, which we find in chapter 9, verse 26. So after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off for the sake of others. Now, what in the world is that talking about, George? Well, less than a week later, after he makes his triumphant entry at the end of the 69th week, Jesus is cut off. That is, he is crucified, died, and is buried. And again, of course, he rose again on the third day. But the reality is the Messiah is cut off. Then, just almost 30-some years to 40 years later, depending on when you believe his crucifixion took place, the reality is that Jerusalem is destroyed. So after this, the people of the ruler, that is the people of the ruler here refers to the Antichrist, that is Gentiles, will come and destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And we know that took place in AD 70. And this destruction will be complete and fast like a flood. And so it'll be just totally devastating. And we know that to be true. Now, we are continuing to be in that period of time between the 69th week and the 70th week. So you say, okay, George, when does the 70th week begin? Now, this is what I want you to focus in on. This is what's known as the tribulation. So we see it in verse 27. The ruler will confirm a covenant for a period of 1 week of 7 years. Now, a covenant, what do you mean a covenant? Well, a peace treaty with who? Israel. With the holy people. He will establish a covenant with many. So it's more than just Israel. It'll be bring peace to the Middle East. Now, isn't that interesting? Because all of my life, I'm 60 years old, and all of my life, any concept of news that I have heard has always been talk about bringing peace to the Middle East or the peace of Jerusalem. And everybody from those of us who are Americans, our country, all the way around the world, even to China, everybody wants to bring peace to the Middle East. Well, the beginning of the 70th week is that this ruler, which I believe is the Antichrist, will establish a peace treaty with Israel and with many others. The 70th week begins with the establishment of the covenant with the ruler and Israel. That's what the text is saying. So when people tell you we're living in the tribulation right now, you can tell them we are not. How do I know that? Because the tribulation, that 70th week, begins with a peace treaty with Israel that brings peace to many. Here's the other thing I want you to see from the text. In the middle of the 7 years, the ruler will stop temple operations. Well, you say, that's not possible, George. There is no temple there right now. Yes, there is no temple there right now, but that doesn't mean that there can't be a temple in the future. And they don't necessarily need a stone building to have sacrifices to be made. You say, how do you know that, George? Well, remember, when they were traveling around in the wilderness, they didn't carry a temple with them, but they carried what? A tabernacle. The point was, is they were making sacrifices for their sin. Now, the reality is, to this day, those who are devout Jewish believers are longing for the day when they can continue the sacrifices to the Lord. That's what's happening. You have to understand that. And when this Antichrist allows this to happen, he's going to stop the temple sacrifices. He will make the temple desolate with an abomination. Now, what exactly that is, I don't know. But I know in history, there have been other rulers who have come through and they've done things to desecrate the temple, such as Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who sacrificed, are you ready for this, a pig on the altar. Talk about desecrating the temple. Now, here's what I want you to notice what Jesus says when we get to Matthew 24, 15 through 22. Look at what he says. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not return back to take his cloak. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. That's what it's going to be like, folks. It is a period of time, Jesus is saying, that for the sake of the elect, for those who are going to be saved during that period, it will be cut short because no one else could survive it. But one of the other things that Daniel tells us is this: the desolation will take place until the ruler is destroyed at a determined time, until the Antichrist is destroyed at a determined time. Now, when will that be, George? Well, we know later, when we'll look at it later in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, that will be when Jesus Christ comes back for us. Now, next week, we're going to begin with how the tribulation, this period of judgment, starts. Now, you're saying, well, wait a minute, George. I thought we just discussed that. It's when this ruler establishes this peace treaty with Israel. Yes, on a human level, it seems that way. But what we're going to do is we're going to actually go to where the book of Revelation tells us it actually begins, in the throne room of God. And from that, we're going to see that the judgments begin, and we're going to start looking at the series of judgments during that period, which is going to take several weeks.